We have four bills this morning, and Senator Gordley is here to testify on all four. So I am going to open the hearings on Senate Bill 69, 75, 76, and 77. And Senator Gordley, if you'd like to come forward, please. Now that you have your coffee, I'm sorry.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. For the record, I am Yvelle Gordley. I represent Senate District 10 in Portland, which includes neighborhoods in northeast and southeast Portland. And Madam Chair, what I would like to do as a part of my presentation this morning is ask Chief Justice Wallace Carson to join me.
Certainly.
Thank
Judge
you.
Carson.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, we've become quite a team, the Chief and I, and we have assigned roles, and his role is to go first.
I wrote the script, Madam Chair. Not really. For the record, I'm Wally Carson, the Chief Justice of the Oregon Supreme Court, and I'm pleased to be here. I'm always pleased to be with Senator Gordley. We've been working on some of these matters for a long time. The bills that you'll be hearing primarily on the interpreter side come out of our Access to Justice for All committee, and this was started in 1992 with the appointment of a task force on racial and ethnic issues in the courts. And my predecessor as Chief Justice, Edwin Peterson, was the first chair, and they had a wonderful committee that toured the state and came up, I think, with 72 recommendations for improving access to justice, focusing on racial and ethnic issues. One of the recommendations was to form an Access to Justice for All committee, and another one was to form an implementation committee, which the courts did. And then Court of Appeals Judge Paul DeMunis was chair, and he's now in the Supreme Court, and he was chair of our implementation committee that moved the project forward. Subsequently, and it's not a part of this, we've had a gender fairness task force chaired by then Supreme Court Justice Susan Graver and Eugene lawyer Bob Frazier. All these matters have now been referred to a Access to Justice for All committee that we put together in, I think, in 97, 98 sometime, and Senator Gordley sits on the committee, and there is a more of a history here. If you'd be interested in looking at it, I think they've been distributed, and you can see on the left-hand margin the active members of the Access to Justice for All committee. The committee's done very well. We're plugging away. I think this is the third session where we have tried to push our bills forward, and we've had modest success over the years, but we're still working on other matters, and you'll hear three of them this morning. And with that, Madam Chair, I'll yield back to Senator Gordley, if I may.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. What I would like to say as a preface to my brief remarks is that Oregon is in the unique position of being a leader in dealing with these issues of gender bias and racial and ethnic bias in our judicial system. And we are positioned as a leader because of the quality of leadership that is being provided by Chief Justice Carson, and also I would note the leadership of former Chief Justice Edwin Peterson. Change does not happen by itself. Change requires a catalyst. Change requires forceful and principled leadership. And again, in Oregon, we are very, very fortunate and blessed to have that quality of leadership in these two men, Chief Justice Carson and Justice Peterson. And I would also note the leadership that is being provided by each and every member of the Access to Justice Committee. just an extraordinary group of Oregon citizens who are volunteering their time to make sure that our system of justice and the way in which justice is administered in Oregon is, in fact, fair and just for all of our citizens. There are many positive changes that have occurred to increase access to the courts for racial and ethnic minorities, if we want to focus there. We have the development and implementation of a statewide certification program for court interpreters, the ability of courts to accept foreign language documents if they are accompanied by certified English translations, increasing educational opportunities, and increased efforts by state agencies and the Oregon Judicial Department to build culturally appropriate services through the budgeting process. More importantly, though, Madam Chair, I would say to you that attitudes are changing. And what we see now is that non-minorities and minorities are working together to solve the problems of racial discrimination and ethnic bias in the justice system. The bills before you address specific issues. In Senate Bill 69, that we are providing for court appointment of interpreters for non-English speaking parents, guardians or persons granted rights of limited participation in juvenile delinquency cases. What we know is that without the ability to understand the proceeding and court's requirement, the parents, guardians, or other responsible adults cannot participate effectively and oversee the youth's compliance. That is Senate Bill 69, the crux of Senate Bill 69. Senate Bill 76 requires interpreters who have not been certified by the state court administrator to submit their interpreter credentials and qualifications on the record. It directs the state court administrator to establish a process for receiving comment on the policy and procedures of the interpreter certification program and for appealing any adverse decisions made by the state court administrator regarding an interpreter's certification status. And then Senate Bill 77, Madam Chair, requires that qualified and certified interpreters be appointed in grand jury proceedings for non-English speaking persons. Currently, there are no requirements to use qualified or certified interpreters in grand jury proceedings. Madam Chair, that briefly captures what the measures provide. There are other folks here who could provide more technical background, Kingsley Click, for example, from the Judicial Department, and others. I appreciate having the opportunity to speak to you about these bills this morning and do encourage your favorable consideration of these access to justice related efforts. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Any questions of the Senator or Chief Justice?
Manager.
Good morning, committee. Good morning, Senator Chief. I want to thank you for bringing these bills. These are great bills. I'm excited about them.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm looking at Senate Bill 75. The language, and this is just a point of clarification, not to suggest any problem, but on lines 22 through 25, the bold language there regarding membership by a youth authority employee or another regulated agency on the Citizens Review Board. That appears to have been added by amendment in the Senate. Was that your language or was that their language? Where did that come from?
If I may, Madam Chair, Representative Shetterly, I just had a whisper in my ear that that's not a part of this presentation, and Nancy Miller from will be talking about it, and I think she can answer it.
I'm sorry. Okay, very good. I thought we were in all of them.
Well,
Okay.
We can certainly fill that need if that's...
No, I'm happy to wait.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, Kingsley Click and Nancy Miller, please. Good morning, Madam Chair, Kingsley Click, State Court Administrator, and just want to double check which bill you're on so we talk to the right one. Sorry.
We opened all of them because
okay.
We were requested to do so by the previous panel, but if you would like to separate some of your testimony, we certainly can do that. If you would just state the number, please.
Right. I think we'd start with Senate Bill 75 because that's with the Citizen Review Board, and that's separate from the three interpreter bills in that way. We can speak to those separately, and it's
okay.
Pretty straightforward. So
thank you.
With leave of the chair, I'd introduce Nancy Miller on that bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Good morning. For the record, my name is Nancy Miller. I'm the director of the Juvenile Court Programs Division of the State Court Administrator's Office. Andrea, I know that Mr. Prinz was talking about coming back for this bill. Are you okay with going?
I think I can handle it.
Okay, so too. He'll be very pleased. In my capacity as Director of Juvenile Court Programs, I also serve as the Director of the Citizen Review Board. This bill is separate from the access package, as Kingsley stated. It's a little bit of a long, convoluted story, but I'll give you the very short version. The Citizen Review Board has been reviewing delinquency cases since 1985. When the Oregon Youth Authority was created in 1995, the focus of those reviews changed. The OYA also opted out of a federal funding stream that allowed us to really change the focus of those reviews to community protection, accountability, reformation, rather than the old focus, which was, do kids have a permanent home? Are they lost in the foster care system? So we were really able to shift into a delinquency focus at that point. We've had a sunset on the bill for the last two sessions because we really wanted to see if we could create a review process for delinquency cases that worked. Both the OIA and the CRB feel really strongly that we did, in fact, create a system that worked. So we are back this time to ask for repeal of the sunset and to allow the CRB to continue to review delinquency cases. In response to Representative Shetterly's question, we had a couple of amendments on the Senate side. Our law has always said that people who are reviewing cases cannot work for the agency that we're reviewing, contract with the agency that we're reviewing. Because we were going to make the Youth Authority provisions permanent, we put mirror language in that we had for SCF. So it's clear that people who serve on delinquency boards can't work for OIA, contract with OIA, and they also need to have expertise in public safety, corrections, which mirrors the SCF language that says they have to have expertise in, I believe it says social work, education, medicine, those kinds of things.
Okay, anyone else wish to address 75?
Madam Chair, we're just basically asking for the committee support to move it to the full committee. Great bill.
Thank you. Any further questions on Senate Bill 75? I would like to ask, was there anyone else in the room that wanted to testify on Senate Bill 75? Okay, I'm going to close the hearing portion on Senate Bill 75 only. And we will continue with the hearings on Senate Bill 69, 76, and 77.
For the record, Kingsley Click, State Court Administrator. Senate Bill 69 addresses court appointment of interpreters for non-English speaking parents, guardians, or persons granted rights of limited participation in juvenile delinquency cases. There is testimony that we're handing out. I think Nancy just handed out Senate Bill 75 testimony. For your previous bill, now you have your written record. On this one, the main issue is right now the courts provide and pay for certified interpreters for the parties in the case, and the issue particularly in the juvenile delinquency area, is when parents are not really parties in the case, and the need for non-English speaking parents or guardians to understand what the terms and conditions being given to the juvenile are, and also to be able to participate in other ways with making sure that that conditions are enforced. And it's often when the juvenile may even speak English, but the parents do not. Nancy Miller has prepared testimony on it. Judge Legard has some insider remarks on how this really happens in the courts for you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, Nancy Miller. Basically, the issue in Senate Bill 69 has to do with the adjudicatory phase of a juvenile proceeding, which is like the trial in an adult proceeding. Currently, parents are not parties at that phase. So when all the discussion's going on about plea negotiation, you know, did the child juvenile do it, did they not do it, the parent's not entitled to an interpreter. Often, what happens at that phase will have an impact on what happens at disposition. If the juvenile pleads to this, then this may be the disposition. If they won't and we have to go to trial, this may be the disposition. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to say we're going to give a parent an interpreter at the dispositional phase, but not at the juvenile equivalent of the trial phase. So they need to understand what's going on throughout. The other piece that this bill addresses is the right, as Kingsley said, for persons who seek rights of limited participation to have an interpreter. Could be an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent, somebody who's really active with that child. And in fact, in a lot of cases, the youth may end up living with this relative. So we just want to make sure that everybody who is involved in a significant way in this youth's life understand the court proceedings from beginning to end. Those are the basics.
Any other comment on 69?
Judge Terry Leggett, Marion County, also a member of the Access Committee. I want to supplement what Nancy Miller said, and that is it's also important in the pre-trial release issue, because what we do with juveniles is we often, of course, release them to their parents on conditions. If we can't discuss with the parents the conditions, the child would interpret those conditions to their parent, often quite differently than I have spoken about them in court. And we've discovered this many cases. So what I'm hoping is on the overrepresentation of minorities in detention facilities, we can get some of these kids out where we can't, unless we're assured that the parent or their guardian can do what we need to have them do to report back to us. So that's where I'm really looking for some relief and hoping that that'll do some, we'll get some relief there in terms of overrepresentation. Thank you.
Questions of this panel? On Senate Bill 69? Okay. Thank you.
Senate Bill 76. Is that correct? For the record, Kingsley Click, State Court Administrator, and also with me on this bill is Judge Terry Leggard from Marion County Circuit Court. This particular one is what we would call our interpreter housekeeping bill. Since the time of the original statutes on interpreters, there has been put into place a certified interpreter program. This bill would change a little bit of how the court interpreter provides testimony on the record. Right now, under the evidence code, you have to come up, state your qualifications, take an oath, and do it on every single item that you're going to be used in. Under this bill, the certified interpreters go through a process and do take an oath and have their qualifications and everything on the record already. So this would kind of streamline that so that only those interpreters whose credentials aren't already on the record or part of the program would then need to be put on, qualified as an expert witness in each case. So it does that. And the other things is last biennium, Senate Bill 38 provided for certified interpreters to be used in administrative hearings in the executive branch, and they ask that those interpreters be those that are certified under the court certified program. And so there are some provisions put in here designed to give feedback and also to have a way if we're working with certification, a problem with a certified interpreter, that there's a way to basically grieve that process. So, Judge Leggers?
For the record, Judge Terry Leggert, Marion County, I just want to explain as a practical matter what happens. For instance, an arraignment process, we may have 10 people that don't speak English and we have a certified interpreter there for the Spanish language. For each individual proceeding, the person comes up and we either have to have them state for the record, even though they've just done it 30 seconds ago, my name, my qualifications, and then you ask the attorney, do they have any more questions? No, they don't. Or the attorney waives their right to challenge those. But you have to do it in every single case. So this, if it's court certified person, we don't have to do that. It's just for the people that aren't. In our county, we don't use, I can't remember the last time we haven't used a court certified interpreter, but we have to go through that process in every single case. So this gets rid of that technical problem for us.
Madam Chair? Kind of like when witnesses have to keep identifying themselves for the record in front of us when they're bill after bill.
Okay. Anything else on Senate Bill 76?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Senate Bill 77.
That's Senate Bill 77, being engrossed for the record, Kingsley Click, State Court Administrator.
Sorry about that.
Better check. And with me also on this bill is... Terry Leggert. Senate Bill 77, as you heard in Senator Gordley's kind of precursor, it provides for the use of certified interpreters in the grand jury proceedings for the use of interpreters when they're bringing their witnesses before the grand jurors. We worked with Dale Penn on this on the Senate side to also put in a streamlined provision that if they're using a certified interpreter under the program, then they don't have to go through the kind of cumbersome motion and order business with the judge. It's off the certified list. Now, if they want to go through the qualified, if they don't have a certified, then they have a little bit more of an elaborate process, but not too much more. So that's the gist of this one. And Judge Leggert, do you have any extra comments on that?
Judge Leggert, Marion County Circuit Court, I used to be a district attorney, and I don't see any reason why the grand jury process should have witnesses any different than the trial court process. And the DAs actually agree on this. They just want to make sure they didn't have to go through too much paperwork that was unnecessary.
Any questions?
Well, Madam Chair.
Representative Shetterly.
Thank you. I do have a question as in language on lines 22 and 23, but it also, I see, is the same as language in current law, where we authorize this interpreter to be present and in the grand jury room and attend the sittings of the grand jury. And mm-hmm. I see, again, that's similar to what we have on line 16. My understanding is that this interpreter is, at least this statute deals with interpreter for a witness's testimony. Is that language broader than it needs to be? Does it suggest that the interpreter can hang around for the deliberations? Like I say, it's existing law, so I understand where that language came from, but I'm just curious about that.
Madam Chair, Representative Shetterly, I see what you're saying. As soon as I read it, I thought it probably should say, just to make it clear, that they may attend the sittings of the grand jury when needed as an interpreter or something to that effect, just to make it clear that they don't sit through the entire proceeding if they're not needed to interpret testimony.
Madam Chair. Well, I'm sure it's not been a problem under current law, or we would have heard about it, and I don't know that we need to make it a problem under this one, but maybe if you don't want to take the time to slow this bill down for an amendment this session, well, at least maybe something to do in a cleanup next time. I'll leave it to you. It's not a big deal to me.
Madam Chair, just Representative Shetterly, I also think it's probably not going to happen since we pay them by the hour, so that may be why it hasn't been a problem.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here who wanted to testify on Senate Bills 69, 76, and 77? I'm going to close the hearing on Senate Bills 69, 76, and 77.
Madam Chair. Oh, we're not in work session yet.
Not quite. I'm getting
them all
organized here.
All right. Do you want them all at once or one at a time?
We will do the motions one at a time. Okay. We are now in work session on Senate Bill 69.
Chair, I move Senate Bill 69 to the floor with the Duke Mayor's recommendation.
Discussion? Hearing none. Roll call, please, Ann.
Representative Bathin?
Aye.
Representative Lowe?
Aye.
Representative Shetterly?
Aye.
Aye. Senate Bill 69 has passed to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Do I have a carrier?
I'd be happy to carry these.
Representative Lowe will carry.
They belong together, don't they?
They belong together, so we will have Representative Lowe do this. Okay, I've closed the work session on Senate Bill 69, Senate Bill 76.
Madam Chair, 76 to the full with a due pass, please.
Representative Lowe has made a motion to pass Senate Bill 76 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call, Ann, please.
Representative Bathin?
Aye.
Representative Lowe?
Aye.
Representative Shetterly?
Aye.
Chair Walker?
Aye. Senate Bill 76 has passed the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Representative Lowe is the carrier. Work session on Senate Bill 77.
Madam Chair, I move 77 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Lowe moves Senate Bill 77 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Representative Bathin?
Aye.
Representative Lowe?
Aye.
Aye.
Representative Shetterly?
Aye.
Chair Walker?
Aye. Senate Bill 77 has moved the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Representative Lowe is the carrier. I'm going to get to 75 here. I can't find it here. There it is. Open the work session on Senate Bill 75.
Chair, move 75 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Lowe moves Senate Bill 75 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Representative Bathin?
Aye.
Representative Lowe?
Aye.
Representative Shetterly?
Well, I'll say aye, but I want to say no because I see Andrea already writing my vote down on the tablet. I just throw her off.
I think Representative Shetterly is an aye.
Yeah.
I can cross that.
Aye. Senate Bill 75 passes the full committee with a due pass recommendation, and Representative Lowe is the carrier. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for a very speedy session today, and we are adjourned.
Members of the committee, just to give you a heads up.